Hi, I'm Bill Arnold. Thanks for listening to the podcast from the Early Morning Late Show. It's 4 minutes after the hour. We got a great second hour coming up. A great first hour, by the way. Thanks to Kent Kaiser and George Fraser for making hour one so incredibly interesting. And now in hour two, we've got Mike Lindell, the founder of MyPillow. And we're going to talk about an event that he's going to be participating at, even speaking a little bit. And he's going to be part of Pulse, which is coming up on Saturday at U.S. Bank Stadium. And I think they're going to get a ginormous crowd. It's very exciting. It's an outreach. It's an evangelistic outreach that are going to hopefully, we should be praying like crazy that many, many come to faith in Christ that night. It's quite a lineup. I'm going to have Mike talk about it in just a minute. And then David Wheaton's going to join me in the second half hour. And I would like to return to a verse that I shared in the first hour from Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 17. It says, "The Lord your God is with you, the mighty warrior who saves." I love that imagery. "He will take great delight in you. In his love, he will no longer rebuke you, but will rejoice over you with singing." Chew on that for the rest of the day, because the Lord your God is with you. He's a mighty warrior who sings over you. Can you put all that together in your head? Because I can't. But I'm working on it. All right. Here's something so odd. I just don't know where to go with this one. Self-marriage is the latest wedding trend. If you don't love yourself, who will? So marry yourself. All right.
Sounds like a Pee Wee Herman joke.
It does. I got nowhere to go with that. Nothing. No. So, all right. Let's take a break. Mike is already on our studio line, so let's get him on in just a minute. We are back. It's 7 minutes after the hour. I'm Bill Arnold. You're here in the studio with Rebecca Maxwell. Neil Stavem is also on the team this morning. And we've got an event here in the greater Twin Cities area coming up this Saturday, which is May 18th at U.S. Bank Stadium. It's called Pulse Twin Cities. It's an evangelistic outreach event, and it's going to be an amazing event. And part of that is Mike Lindell, who's the inventor of MyPillow. He's on our studio line with me this morning. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning, Bill. Hey, just real quick, that's Friday, May 18th. It's Friday.
Friday. Did I say Saturday? I meant Friday.
Yeah, you said Saturday.
Thank you for correcting me. I am embarrassed that I said Saturday. I meant Friday. So thank you very much.
Well, I would have had one more day to practice my speech.
Are you excited? Are you excited for this event? You must be.
Yeah, I really am. We've been working on it a long time. Nick Hall had asked me last year to get involved, and I wanted to, and then it got moved to this year, and I'm a little better prepared for it. I've spoke before a few more crowds now, so I'm getting a little better at it.
I got to tell you, Mike, that is a big room.
Yeah, it is.
just so you know, I don't want to make you nervous, but there's going to be a lot of people looking at you.
I think there's going to be about 70,000 people there, is the way it's sounding now.
Oh, my goodness. That is enormous. And they always say go big or go home, but I don't know why you can't do both. But this is going to be a big event. And I have heard rumors that there is going to be a Guinness World Book of Records set that night. Tell me about that.
Well, we're giving away a pillow for everyone that gets in the stadium. We're gonna go ahead and try to set the Guinness Book of World Record pillow fight again.
that makes me laugh.
I wanted to get a lot of publicity for the event. It's such an amazing outreach, when I've watched Nick speak before and all the stuff those guys have done, it's just I wanted to get them some. Get some people there and get some people saved. And we're it's gonna be fun though. The you know, we did the smaller pillow fight over at the a couple of years ago, where there were 6,000 people. So we've been telling U.S. Bank Stadium, don't worry, we're experts. But, boy, there's a lot more logistics that goes into 60-some thousand.
Yeah, Mike, I'm curious, who has the place of privilege that would be standing next to you that would be able to hit you with one of your pillows?
Well, that'll probably be Nick Hall.
All right. We should auction that position off, because I would bid to be in that position.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, this...
I was just doing a shopping channel in Canada yesterday for about 20 hours, and I had a couple bad pills that don't work for people. I said, now, this one we will not be using in the pillow fight.
Now, I'm curious, because a pillow fight with 50,000 people, of course, it conjures up in my mind all kinds of potential incidents that could happen. And I know that you're obviously being super careful, and it's going to be fun, and it's going to be in the spirit of just having a good time. But what happens when someone takes a pillow to the side of the head and loses their balance?
Well, we've done this before at the other for the St. Paul Saints, and even over there there wasn't one incident. It's a very controlled. You have a judge for every 100 people.
Okay.
It's a 1 minute thing, and you're not swinging hard. It's you have to be, and if you're taking video, you're not even counted in the fight. And you can be swinging above your head. You can be hitting the other person, but it's very controlled. And at the end of the 1 minute, we're going to all act like we're sleeping like we did last time. And then, I'm actually going to say a prayer, two-, three-minute prayer for the country and the people. And so it's going to be. We're going to have God with us. Nothing's going to happen. It's
yeah.
It's been amazing. And there's another thing, too, that people with my pillows, because they are my pillows, they're a lot softer, and people don't want to wreck them, too. That's one thing, because they have such value. We didn't have one of them get wrecked at the other pillow fight we had.
Wow.
And, And that was, they serve alcohol over there, and this has been no alcohol here. So
right.
We hope everybody's, this is a different type of event. I wouldn't even attempt it. You probably wouldn't do this at a Philadelphia football game.
No, you probably wouldn't. Now, let me ask you this, Mike, too. You don't have to turn these pillows back in, or do you get to take them home? Is it?
Oh, no, they get to take them home.
Okay, now we're talking.
It's a $50 pillow.
I mean, talk about some valuable swag.
Right, exactly. That's what I'm saying. I don't think anybody wants to damage their pillow, and I think they'll be. It's going to be pretty amazing.
Yeah, and just so you know, I have five of them myself, and I've got the little travel pillow, and I've got the body pillow, and I'm a big fan. I sleep on one every night. So,
oh wow!
Just so you know, those are great pillows. So thank you for what you've done. But I want to talk a little bit about Pulse. Now, your involvement is, I know you've been in this for a while, but talk about sort of the ages and the program and who you anticipate coming to this.
It's a lot of millennials. This was started back, I think, 10, 15 years ago, if you have to look it up, by Nick Hall. It was on a college campus in North Dakota. And it's gotten bigger and bigger, and I've gotten involved with a lot of outreach Christian programs for the millennials and the X generation. And I'm actually going to be there telling my testimonial here. The Pulse is from the Twin Cities too, so it's it's going to be a lot of local, a lot of I think five state area here and in Midwest and. But it's going to be amazing. There's a lot of bands coming and entertainment. And then Nick's going to speak. He's one of the most amazing speakers. Hmm. He reminds me. In fact, he did a lot of stuff with Billy Graham, and he reaches people. He reaches into their hearts, and Jesus just talks through him. And I'm going to be telling my testimonial. I'm doing a lot with. addiction. You know, I was a crack cocaine addict.
I do know that.
I'm going to be telling my story, and I'll be telling about my how the drug dealers did an intervention on me here in Minneapolis in 2008, and I'll be telling them when I surrender my life to Jesus, and it's going to be my story with the there's going to be a lot of stuff on video too. I believe a lot of athletes and just a lot of people the millennials look up to for hope. And I just hope my story touches a lot of them, especially the ones with addiction. I'm going to be launching a program. It's called the Recovery Network, and we're not quite ready yet, but we're working with Teen Challenge, Union Gospel, Salvation Army, a lot of these faith-based treatment centers. But what we're doing, if you're a 22-year-old opiate addict in Minneapolis, you might not be able to relate to a 50-year-old meth addict in California. Mm-hmm. So what we're doing is we're gathering tens of thousands of stories of hope. And you're going to be able to go to this website and put in your addiction and your age, and all these stories are going to come down of your age group, people like you, same addiction, that have made it through. So it plants these seeds of hope. Most time you're going to find out it's Jesus, but then you're going to go and you're going to go, all these places of help that are like Salvation Army, one of the most amazing treatment centers in the country. There's nothing better.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Talking to Mike Lindell, the inventor of MyPillow, will be speaking at the Pulse Twin Cities event coming up this Friday night, May 18th. Mike, let me take a little break. When I come back, I want to talk to you a little bit about your testimony that you'll be sharing. I want to just open that door a little bit, give people a glimpse, because I've had you on Real Recovery before with George Fraser, and some of the things you said on that show have been lodged in my brain forever, and I want to talk about those when we return. It's 17 minutes after the hour. We'll be right back with Mike Lindell. It's 19 minutes after the hour. Pulse Twin Cities is happening this Friday night, May 18th, at U.S. Bank Stadium. And if you've never been to U.S. Bank Stadium because you can't afford a ticket to go see the Vikings play, this event is free. And it's a chance to have an incredible night of music and testimony and to hear the gospel. And if you have a friend that you think, I would like to take a friend to this, this is the time to do it. Get ready, get set, go, because it's this Friday night. My guest on our studio line is Mike Lindell, the inventor of MyPillow, and a person who is very involved in the planning and execution and participation of this event. And Mike, your testimony, and I know you'll be sharing some of that with the audience on Friday night, is so compelling. And when you were needing to resurrect your business, when it sort of hit a low point, you had just had been delivered from drugs. Christ had moved into your life, delivered you from drugs, and now 1 week later, you need to go get money from the bank to pay your suppliers to make more of your product. And you walk into the bank in jeans and a t-shirt, and you openly admit that you are a cocaine addict. And I need to borrow. Right. I need to borrow $35,000 to get my business going again. And the banker said to you, "Oh, so you're recovered? How long have you been sober?" And you said, 7 days.
Well, it wasn't a bank. It was actually guys that I didn't even know. It was
okay.
A business in
Yes.
Eden Prairie, and there was eight of them, and they were all dressed in suits. And I had very much a fear of rejection and unworthiness, and why I was masking with drugs in the first place. And you're really close. I walked in. I needed $30,000. People were taking my company, and I'm in there talking away and with a t-shirt and jeans, and their CFOs, they had all these C's in the room, and one of the C's says, "Well, when did you quit crack?" And I said, "Last Thursday."
And
four of them got up and left. Four of them got up and left the room, and then I said, "Well, now there's four of you, and you're all going to put in $7,500." And so this was even more, there was nothing really to give them for collateral. There was it was a leap of faith.
Yeah, and that was highly unlikely that, in my opinion, working with men in recovery, that if you've been sober for 7 days, that you're going to be able to maintain a life of sobriety if someone hands you $30,000. But in your case, yeah, God really intervened, and you actually really did use the money to get the business started again and to keep it from being sold, huh?
Well, it was actually to get fabric back that these guys had taken from me that were in on this takeover of the company, and so not only that, it was a lot of favor. I look back and it was just one little mini miracle after another. But for me, all that stuff, I don't know if you know this part of the story. I mean, I had all these amazing things happen all the way up to, I did my infomercial in 2011, went from 5 employees to 540 days.
Mm-hmm.
And we just exploded. Well, you got to be the summer of 2014 and we were within 2 days of going under again. And I met a gal that she has something that I didn't have. She had this relationship with Jesus. Now, I've been freed of my addictions, and I'm going, and she's going, you need, you know, Mike, you need this relationship. We need to pray for your company and all these things. And I had fallen away from God and took a lot of stuff for granted. I just thought every time I prayed when I was, I would always pray when I was, when I would need something. And go to church if I needed something. And it got to be, it wasn't until February 18th of 2017 that I actually had a complete surrender. And it's been amazing since, where now I can be proactive. I can proactively pray. I can stay in the Word. And it's just it's a game changer.
Yeah. You know, Mike, you are a very generous guy. And you want to give back. You want to sow seed into the gospel and the expansion of the kingdom. Talk just briefly about your feelings about how you start giving all of your, you become so generous, and how God has blessed you in your business.
Well, it is this idea for a pillow. This came from God anyway, this is God's company, the MyPillow. He's chairman of the board, basically, and it's just a platform for me for a much bigger calling, and it always has been. And I knew this way back, even when I was an addict. I had stuff written back then in my diaries and stuff that this was going to be very, very big. I just give back. I feel it's such a blessing. I've always had a heart to help people, but now to be able to do this on a big platform like this, it's absolutely amazing.
Mm-hmm.
I have one quick story to tell about that. And I'll try and make it brief. I was our town cop in Carver, Minnesota. His name is Larry, and he went to arrest me one day, and I was going to court that following Tuesday for something I was innocent of, and Larry went to arrest me, and I said, Larry, I said, I have to get these papers to my brother. I said, now this is back in 2008, and I said, if I don't get them to my brother, I said, millions of lives, I don't know how, are going to be affected in the future. I said, God's got some huge plan for this MyPillow, and it's going to affect millions of lives unless you let him get these papers. And I said, you're going to arrest me right now anyway. And I said, I'm going to be found innocent next Tuesday. And if I'm not found innocent, you can arrest me anytime. And I promise I'll have cocaine on me. And Larry looked at me and he said, go call your brother. So I called my brother. It was a schoolhouse in Carver, gave him the papers. Now, I didn't see Larry for 7 years. I seen him last fall. We were doing our town parade in Carver, Minnesota, and I had a big event I could have went to in Dallas. I decided I wanted to stay and throw pillows out to the little pillows out to the little kids. And our float was parked in Carver, and here came Larry the cop, and he come pulling up, and he gets out. He says, Mike, and I go, Larry, and he goes, and he looked at me and he said, Do you remember what I did? And I said, I sure do. And I asked him, I said, Larry, why would you have believed something so far-fetched? And he said, you said it with such passion and believable. He said, what if I didn't listen to you and I affected all those people that you were telling me about? So he goes, am I going to be in your book? I said, yes, you are. So he took a picture and that book's going to come out, by the way, this fall. It's going to really, I'm just hoping it's such an amazing book of hope that'll help so many people.
Yeah, Mike, we'll be praying for you on Friday night, May 18th at Pulse Twin Cities. Thank you for what you've done and what you're doing, and Godspeed on Friday night.
Well, thank you, and God bless you, and I hope my testimonial touches a lot of people, and a lot of people are saved on Friday night.
It will indeed. Thanks so much. Yeah. Mike Lindell's been my guest, inventor of MyPillow. We'll take a short break and be back with lots more in just a minute. Good morning. If you're just joining me, it's so nice to have you with me. It's 28 minutes until the top of the hour, according to my math. I looked at the clock. It said 32, so I did the math in my head real quick. So 28 will get us there to the top of the hour. Now, we're going to take a little break for news and find out what's going on around the world. And then when we come back, we're going to talk to David Wheaton, my friend, and we're going to discuss a comment that was made by Andy Stanley and about the idea that we possibly, according to Stanley, should unhitch our faith from the Old Testament. Of course, that caused all kinds of backlash. David will discuss that in just about 6 minutes.
How's the chemistry with people in your house? Are you truly connecting? And how's your relationship with your team? Hi, I'm Mark Gregston with Parenting Today's Teens. After 30-plus years of working with struggling teens and their families, I've come to realize that almost everything goes back to relationship. A discipline problem is usually a relationship problem. Conflict becomes an enemy where there's no connection between parent and child. And rules in your home that aren't backed by a strong sense of rapport will eventually yield rebellion. Hey, there's no better time than right now to work on connecting with your teen. No matter how you've blown it in the past, no matter how much tension is building, it's never too late to pursue relationships at home.
Strengthen your parenting muscles with Mark Gregston's free 2-week boot camp called Tough Guys and Drama Queens at freeparentingcourse.com.
I love that walk-up music because I love tennis. I love David Wheaton. And I love him as a guest. Good morning, David.
Hey, good morning, Bill. Good to be with you today.
Thank you. It said in a survey that Minnesota is the happiest place in the country to live. How was your happy Minnesota life on the lake with your wife
and
son?
With a day like this here in the Twin Cities, it's hard not to be happy.
I know.
But even more than that, you know, where you live is not the basis for happiness, but knowing the one who created you is the basis for gives us peace and hope and joy, and that's what I'm most thankful for.
Yeah, we can close in prayer. All right, let's continue the conversation, though. There's an interesting controversial statement that Andy Stanley made from Community Church in Atlanta, where he pastors, and maybe it's the word that he used that caused so much turmoil, but he said Christians must unhitch Old Testament from their faith.
Yeah.
What a loaded statement.
Yeah. Well, you know, one of the highest calls of a pastor, maybe the main call of a pastor, is to make the Bible clear and to explain the Bible, what it means to the congregation, to people. And I think that statement, and we'll read some more today. I have a good article from the Christian Post that reports on what he said with several quotes from his recent sermon.
Yes.
But at best, that just saying the Christians must unhitch the Old Testament from their faith, at best, a comment like that is confusing. And at worst, depending on what he really means, because it's kind of hard to know what he really means, it undermines Scripture and is actually false teaching. So somewhere in the midst of that, he's created a major controversy. And the Christian Post wrote a column about this. You can just do a search on it online, just search for Andy Stanley Unhitched. And Andy Stanley, for those who are listening who don't know who he is, he's one of the most influential evangelical pastors at least in this country today. I mean, you know, Rick Warren and Bill Hybels may have been the most popular, well-known pastors of yesteryear, but Andy Stanley is right at the top of the list today. So when he says something like this, it has major impact. He's also the leader of what's called the Catalyst Leadership Conferences, which is a very influential, it's sort of like Willow Creek's association leadership conference, global leadership summit they put on every year, where they go out and they influence churches across the country. So I just say as a context, Bill, to say that this isn't, you know, said by some, you know, obscure pastor in some small town. This is a major story because it was said by someone who's very popular. So, you know, basically, just to read a couple of quotes from the article, it said that from the Christian Post. It says Stanley explained that, well, he believes the Old Testament is divinely inspired. It should not be the go-to source regarding any behavior in the church. Now, again, he's made statements like this, not only with this particular issue, but others in the past. Saying something like that, you know, is patently false. I mean, what about the Ten Commandments? Not only did Christ double down on the Ten Commandments from the Old Testament, in the New Testament, in the Sermon on the Mount, he made the Ten Commandments actually stricter. He didn't say it's just wrong to commit adultery. He said it's wrong if you look at a woman to lust after her. That's like committing adultery in your heart. If you hate someone in your heart, that's like committing murder. So, again, statements like that, he may mean something totally different, but something's very much lost in the translation when you say the Old Testament should be unhitched from the Christian faith.
Mm-hmm. Now, he did say he was preaching from Acts 15, and he described how the early church decided that Gentile converts did not need to strictly observe Jewish law to become Christians. Mm-hmm. So I think he's trying to look for – he's using examples that you kind of look at and you go, well, that makes sense.
Yeah, exactly. So Acts 15 is the passage where – let me just read a couple sentences from it. Some men came down from Judea and they began teaching the brethren, Christians, unless you are circumcised according to the custom of Moses, like they were in the Old Testament, you cannot be saved. So what they were doing was they were telling these new converts, no, you need to be circumcised to be saved. In other words, you need to perform a religious work to be saved. And the apostles, it says, and the elders came together to look into this matter. And after there had been much debate, Peter stood up and said to them, brethren, you know that in the early days God made a choice among you that by my mouth the Gentiles would hear the word of the gospel and believe. And so he goes on to say, but we believe that we are saved through grace of the Lord Jesus in the same way as they, Gentiles, are also. So they immediately responded to this, not unhitching the Old Testament from the New Testament, but saying that the way that people have always been saved is never by works. It wasn't, you weren't saved by old works in the Old Testament, even though there was a law there. That showed God's perfect righteousness and holiness, and that you could not keep it. We've always been saved as Abraham was. He believed God and was reckoned unto him to righteousness, as you are saved in the New Testament the same way. Now we have a fuller revelation of what that object of faith is, Jesus Christ. So we're saved by faith both ways. So I see what Andy Stanley is saying. If he means simply that you're not saved by keeping the works of the law, okay. But the comments and the train is so confusing as to, you know, for someone who's maybe not discerning, who doesn't understand, and you can read this in the commentators or the commenters on the article, how all over the place people are trying to figure out what exactly he's saying, because it's so provocative, at least just the way he's saying it.
Mm-hmm. David, how are we doing as Christians when someone comes to faith in Christ of pointing them to the Old Testament? There was a pastor that said the New Testament is like a fully furnished room dimly lit. It's like it's all there. We just don't know it very well.
Yeah.
And when someone comes to faith in Christ, we usually don't say, well, you should open up and start reading Leviticus.
No, but it's all progressive revelation. It's the same God in the Old Testament and the New Testament. Some of Andy Stanley's comments, you know, seem to, I won't go into them, but seem to suggest that, you know, people read the Old Testament and think, well, who is this God? I don't want to worship this God. This is a God who destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. This is a God who told Joshua to destroy the Canaanites, you know, mercilessly. And, you know, this is all these rules and regulations, the civil laws of Israel, the ceremonial laws, the moral laws. This doesn't seem applicable to today. And Andy Stanley says that undermines people, that makes them not want to come to faith. But we have to realize that it's the same God in the Old Testament as it is the New Testament. God is a God of grace and love in wrath and justice in the New Testament as he is in the Old Testament. There's no different. But like you said in the question there, your statement, it's absolutely true. There's the Old Testament reveals a lot about God, and there's a progressively more revelation about him as we get into the New Testament. And I think that's a good way of putting it. I think Jesus' own statement about the New Testament, about the Old Testament, is critical. What he says in Matthew chapter 5, he says, "Do not think that I came to abolish the law or the prophets," the Old Testament. "I did not come to abolish, but to fulfill. For truly I say to you, until heaven and earth pass away, not the smallest letter or stroke shall pass away from the law," the Old Testament, "until all is accomplished." Now, this is a warning, I think, to someone like Andy Stanley that he should heed here. Verse 19, "Whoever then annuls one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever keeps and teaches them shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven." Bill, we don't want to do anything to create confusion or undermining the Old Testament. It is all the inspired word of God. It's a progressive revelation. Jesus Christ is pictured dimly in the Old Testament. There's shadows and types of him in the sacrificial system all over the place. There's prophecies about him all over the place. The New Testament quotes the Old Testament all over the place. We don't want to do anything to unhitch that connection.
Oh, I agree, David. Now, let me take a break. When I come back, I want to continue our conversation about the relevance of the Old Testament in the lives of believers today. And if you are sitting there and you want to call and make a comment or a question, we'd welcome that at 877-933-2484, 877-933-2484. We've got time for a call or two. Other than that, it's 13 minutes away from the top of the hour. We'll be back with David Wheaton in just a minute. Minutes until the top of the hour. Back speaking to David Wheaton, we're having a discussion about a comment Pastor Andy Stanley made about unhitching from the Old Testament. I already had a very thoughtful comment from a listener named Paul. He said, David, important topic of discussion with David Wheaton. He said, "Andy Stanley failed to look at the continuity of the Old Testament and the New Testament and to make a distinction between the civil, ceremonial, and moral law. God is the same God in the Old Testament as in the New Testament. However, we should interpret the Old Testament through the lens of the New Testament."
Well, it's a very good point. I mean, I completely agree with that. To interpret the Old Testament, I mean, we need to take the scripture as a whole, basically, I think is what he's trying to say. You know, the New Testament hasn't canceled out or unhitched the Old Testament. And that's such – honestly, again, I go back to the fact that saying something like that is really – as a pastor, you really need to make sure that when you say things, you know, people are listening. People's lives, their eternities, their souls depend on what you're saying. It's such a high calling to be handling the Word of God. And you know, I read one commenter who said after reading the article on Andy Stanley's comments, he said, "Finally, a man of real Christian courage and wisdom. The Old Testament is full of glaring, even violent contradictions of Jesus' words and gospel. In that way, the Old Testament is very much like the Talmud, full of the most disgusting and even murderously unjust racial supremacies. Time to choose Jesus above all else. Jesus should not only have the last word, his scripture is the only guidance that we should be following, period." Now, you hear a statement like that, and this is someone who's hearing what Andy Stanley says and concluding that, mm-hmm. which is completely heretical. And so, as your caller or emailer said, we have to understand scripture the way, let's say, just the way Jesus said it. Why did Jesus quote the Old Testament? Why did he say the law and the prophets all will be fulfilled? He elevated the Old Testament as being equal with the new. It is all one progressive, continuous revelation of God from Genesis 1 to the last verse in Revelation.
Mm-hmm. See, David, my listeners are really smart and probably good looking too. So, just wanted to throw that in there. I have Mike from Maple Grove. He's on our studio line as well. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning. Hi, David. I really enjoy when you're on with Bill, so I just wanted to tell you that. Thank you so much for everything you bring.
Well, praise God. Thank you.
So my question is, I've been recently reading through the Old Testament and the history of the Israelites, just continually falling away from God and just disobeying him and angering God so much. Yet God continued his faithfulness, and his promise. He kept remembering. And I'm just wondering what your thoughts are regarding Israel today. If God is still has that promise that he's keeping in his deep love for Israel.
Yeah, well, I think if you read Romans chapter 9 through 11, the way I understand scripture to read there is that there is absolutely future significance and present significance for the Jewish people and for the nation of Israel. You know, God is not slack, the Bible says, concerning his promises. He made very specific promises to Abraham and the Jewish people back then. Even as you mentioned, they went into sin and rebellion just like we do. I mean, you think about the Exodus here. God is leading them out of the promised land. They're seeing miracles day after day, practically, and you know, parting of the Red Sea and a cloud by day and a fire by night, and yet they're falling away. That just shows that we all have this heart that wants to go our own way, and yet God is faithful. He's willing to forgive. He's willing to be patient. Yes, there is a time for his justice and judgment, but he's willing to be patient. And those promises, those covenants he made with Israel have never been annulled or stopped. And as you read Romans 9 through 11, you see there is a future significance for the Jewish people and the nation of Israel. And I think it's very clear as you read those passages that someday the Jewish people will understand that Jesus Christ is their Messiah. He came and announced himself to them back in, you know, the early part of the first century, and the religious leaders and the nation as a whole rejected him. Some, of course, didn't. But in the future, they will recognize him for who he is, the Son of God, and their Messiah and Savior and their anointed one.
Great question, Mike. And David, great answer.
Thank you.
See, this is the kind of quality programming that we have David Wheaton on, and I love. All right, Dave, here's another question. A great friend of the show, Jim from South Dakota, wrote in and said, "You guys are making me think." And then he said, "Is this comment accurate? The Old Testament says, be obedient and be saved. And the New Testament says, be saved and become obedient."
Yeah, that's an interesting point. No, I wouldn't say that's accurate. I mean, let's put it this way. If you can read the Old Testament and read the moral law of the Old Testament, you can keep it perfectly, you're saved. But the fact is, no one can keep it perfectly.
Yeah.
Only Jesus Christ was the one who could perfectly keep the Old Testament. So he's the sinless Son of God. That's why his one sacrifice of himself on the cross was sufficient for all sin of all time. Now, back in the Old Testament, the law, I mean, this is what the whole book of Galatians was written for. Paul wrote the book of Galatians. They were trying to mix the Old Testament law with the gospel of grace. It says in Galatians 3, why the law? Why is the law even there then? It was added because of transgressions. In the law, then is the law then contrary to the promises of God? May it never be. For if a law had been given which was able to give life or eternal life, then righteousness would indeed have been based on the law. In other words, if you can keep the law perfectly, you can have eternal life.
Mm-hmm.
But the fact is, we can't. But then he goes down in verse 22 to say, but the scripture has shut up everyone under sin so that the promise by faith in Jesus Christ might be given to those who believe. So what that means is that the Old Testament law is, as it says in some translations, a schoolmaster, a tutor to lead us to Christ, to show us that, oh, that's God's holy, righteous standard. It's very good. It's who God is, and we can't keep it. And so the response to that is, oh, I need to keep it better. No, you can't keep it. You've already sinned. You've already broken it. Okay, So you can't make that right. The response is, I need to just throw myself at the mercy and cry out in repentance and trust in what God provided to cover, to be atonement for my sin, which was his Son on the cross. That's what we have to put our whole faith in, what Jesus' work was, and not any of our own works to try to keep the law.
Yeah, David, I think of refreshing reading Hebrews, where it says it was by faith in God that they obeyed. So it was their faith.
Yeah, it was their faith. And sometimes people think, well, they didn't believe in Jesus back then. Yeah, they may not have had a full picture of who Jesus was, because, again, it was in types and shadows in the law.
Mm-hmm.
But it was faith in God's revelation. It was faith in God. It wasn't faith in their works. It was they understood they were sinners. They put their faith in what God had revealed to that point. And now we have a fuller revelation of what God revealed, and that is the person and work of Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
David, so you can see that. Sorry.
Yeah, we just got to jump. This could go on for days. This is a great conversation. Let's continue this conversation our next time together. David Wheaton has been my guest. We'll take a very short break and wrap up the show. See you tomorrow. Thanks for listening to the Early Morning Late Show podcast. These conversations are available because of your prayerful and financial support. Make a gift now at myfaithradio.com. To avoid missing future editions of the Early Morning Late Show, subscribe to the podcast today at iTunes or your podcast player. And thanks for sharing this audio link with a friend and grow the impact of the Early Morning Late Show.